and they really need our love. All right, take out your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. Last Sunday, we began a series called Mega. And the series is an in-depth dissection of the Great Commandment. And I don't have time to go back over everything we talked about last week, but a synopsis, if I had to come up with a synopsis, it would be this. That the foundation of the Word of God is that we love the Lord more than anything else. Through having this foundation in place, we receive love for others, even our enemies. If this relational priority, and I'm talking about the relational priority of loving the Lord more than anything else, if this relational priority is not operating at its proper place in life, there's no good you can do and there's no good you can be that compensates for it. Okay, now let's go to Romans chapter 1. We're going to read a few scriptures this morning, then we'll dive into some dissection. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, okay, here we go. Now here we go into what I really want to get at today. Because although they knew God, so they knew who God was, they had been taught about Him, they had grown up hearing about God, they did not glorify Him as God, okay? In other words, they ceased to live as their purpose, the glorification of God. Doesn't mean they didn't know who He was. Doesn't mean they couldn't recite facts about Him. Didn't mean they didn't go to church. Didn't mean they didn't pray. Didn't mean they didn't do a lot of those type of things. What happened to them is they ceased to live their life with the purpose of their life being to glorify God. And nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Creeping things. Got the next part? Matt, is that it? Is that it? That go through 23? That does? Well, good. So I'm the one that's wrong. So, what are we trying to focus on here this morning? Here's one of the things I want to say is that when man fails in his purpose, which is to live to glorify God, a process begins. And after this scripture, it tells us that when they begin to move away from living to glorify God, that God gave them up to some things. They began to lose power in their lives, that they weren't not walking the same way that people who have Jesus first in their life would walk. So, when we begin to fail in our purpose to live to glorify God, a process begins, and I want to look at that process this morning. The scripture in Romans says the first part of that process is that the individual begins to suppress the truth in their life. When we cease to live with our purpose to glorify God, when that stops being at the forefront of our life, every decision, every attitude, every behavior, when we stop living with that at the forefront of our lives, then we begin to suppress the truth in our life. No matter how often we pray, as I said earlier, no matter how often we go to church, no matter if we call ourselves a Christian, the individual that does that has left the truth of his purpose behind. You know what is happening at that time as well is that we no longer believe all of God's Word. Now, we may say we do. But when we cease to live to glorify God, and He's telling us that our life, we've been given this life as a gift through which we glorify Him and magnify Him, love Him, follow Him, obey Him. And when we cease to do that, then we have ceased to believe all of God's Word. In essence, calling God a liar. It's going to be quiet in here today, I can guarantee you that. Because when God says something and we choose to do something else, I'm not talking about ignorance, I'm talking about rebellion. When we know what the Word of God says and we choose to do something else, then basically our actions are saying to God, I don't believe what you're saying. We're either saying, I don't believe it, we're saying, it doesn't apply, we're saying to God, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay? In essence, when our actions are portraying that type of attitude, what are we calling God? A liar. The suppression of the truth means that even though the person knows the truth, they fail to process the truth through acting upon it. They willingly reject the truth in favor of another idea, another desire, another goal. And when we cease to live for God's glory, we inevitably, if I can get that out, begin to live for our own glory. Even if we appear to be religious in our actions. Now, Jesus is the Word. Aren't we told that in the Bible? Jesus is the Word, right? You can't love God and not love the Word. So a lot of us say, I love God, but we willingly disobey the Word. There's many different things that are happening when that happens. One is we're telling God He doesn't know what He's talking about. Okay, that in at least in this instance, Lord, you're misinformed. You don't know. Or we do worse than that, and we say, hey, I know that God doesn't approve of this, but He understands why I'm making a choice other than the one that is in His Word. I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't deceive yourself over that anymore. God does not understand. Okay? He does not understand why you would say you love Him and choose a path completely contrary to the one He lays out for you. Okay? He doesn't understand that. What I mean, yeah, He understands what you're doing. What I mean was when he say He doesn't understand that, is He doesn't put His stamp of approval on that. And I've seen that operate at all different levels, Jack. I've seen that operate in pastors. I've seen that operate in new believers. So don't be deceived and think that you've been walking with God long enough that that type of process can't develop in your life. Because it can. We've all got to be on guard for that type of thing, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord. I've seen pastors that were pastors very successful on the outside. And then when you get behind them in closed doors and you begin to talk about them, they begin to make excuses for things that are going on in their life. Basically, many of them saying, well, God understands because I'm under so much pressure or I've got so much going on that God understands why I'm doing these things. And no, God does not sanction our disobedience. Okay? And so when we cease to live to glorify God, we have begun to walk away from the truth in our life. Is this too hard? America's suffering with this bad. And I'm determined this church ain't going to suffer with it. Okay, because Americans, you know, we say we love this, we say we love that, we say we're Christians. But the fruit oftentimes is not there. So when we begin to cease to live to glorify God, then we begin to suppress the truth in our life. What's the second thing that happens? When the truth is rejected, a new truth is created. When we reject the real truth, then a new truth is created in our lives. And I want to say this about it before I go on. At the point that we reject God's word, and when I say point, I mean whatever place, whatever situation, we choose to reject God's word and do it our own way, at whatever point we reject God's word, we have created an idol. At whatever place that we reject God's direction, interrelationally, how I live my life, the decisions I make, my attitudes, my actions, my behaviors, whatever place that I reject God's truth, when He's saying one thing and I'm doing another, right at that place that I choose that rejection, I've created an idol of some sort. My gosh, you guys are quiet today. Are you all right? I don't care if you are or not. Now, this corruption causes us to move away from real Christianity and begin to live a Christianity of our own making. God's Word defines. Now, let's think about the things God's Word defines for us. God's Word defines our nature, doesn't it? God's Word defines our emotions and tells us how to use them and what they are and all those things, right? God's Word defines our responses and what they should be. God's Word talks about our motives and what they should be. God's Word talks about our world and how we should live in it and respond to it. God's Word talks about our purpose, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We could go on down the line. But at the point we reject His definition, whatever point, at whatever place, we must create our own truth so that life and behavior make sense. We've got to create our own truth. So if we reject God's purposes for our life, then we create a new purpose for living. If we reject God's definition of love, then we got to create a new definition of love. If we reject God's definition of the world, then we got to create a new definition of the world. Examples. Let me just give you a few examples for a second. We as a people don't like God's definition of us as evil. We don't like that. As humans, we don't like that. So you know what? So we say, we've recreated our nature and say that we're basically good. Makes us feel a whole lot better about ourselves. And we've created deception that if we believe we're basically good, then none of us are going to hell. Good people don't go to hell. God doesn't send good people to hell. It doesn't matter if He's in first place or not. Rich young ruler, as an example, doesn't matter how you live. If Jesus, you don't matter how good of a citizen you are. If Jesus isn't first place in your life, then you got a problem. You got a real problem with God. And you say, well, I think God will overlook that, won't He, if I'm a good guy? He didn't overlook it in the rich young ruler's life. Why would you think He'd overlook it in your own? Okay? So, if I don't like the fact that God says that our motivations are basically evil at a basic level, then we say we're basically good. If we don't like God's definition of our relationships and how we ought to live them, then we create sex outside of marriage, living together in same-sex marriage. If we don't like God's definition of love, then we create tolerance. And if we don't like the prospect of hell, we just do away with it altogether. Now let me ask you a question. In this type of Christianity, who's in charge? God's in charge? No. No, the creator of that type of Christianity is in charge. And who created it? We did. We created it. So therefore, who is God? Only one more page. At 16 font. Is this okay, Pastor Bob, or is it wrong? Is it okay? Okay. All right. So when we cease to live to glorify God, now we've been talking about the great commandment, right? Loving the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. We looked at that, okay, as being the mega commandment. We talked about, can we be good people, keep other commandments, and leave this one undone? Will we be okay? We all came to the agreement that no, the Word of God says we wouldn't be okay. All right, so that's why we're doing this type of talking. So when we cease to live to glorify God, then we move into suppression of the truth. When we begin to suppress the truth, then we create a new truth for us to live by. Okay? It's not based in Christianity or the Bible, but we call it that. And then the third thing that you have to consider, and this is scary, that at the end of that road, at the end of the road, where we see of the road ceasing to live to glorify God. And when I say at the end of the road, when that type of thinking and that type of living has reached its fullest measure, at the end of that road lies the Antichrist. At the end of that road, you'll find the Antichrist. Okay? Once you start down this road, you embrace the corruption that God is necessary only for certain things. But the full and ultimate expression of this belief, we just said this, is that who is defining things? We are. We are defining things. And God is not necessary. God's not necessary to tell us how to live. Because if we disagree with it, he'll understand if we change it. We don't need you for anything just to get me to heaven. That's all I need you for. I need you as some kind of ferryman to get me from my casket or my deathbed to heaven, whatever that is. Okay, wherever that is. That's all I need you for. The rest of it, I really don't need you unless I get myself in such a big mess that I need you to come in and bail me out. And really, I won't be in real true repentance over that. I just need you to fix the mess. And once the mess is fixed, we'll pick right back up where we left off. And we'll move on. In fact, the fullest expression of what we're talking about is not only is God not necessary, but his beliefs are contrary to what I want. And therefore, his word is my enemy. And so are the people that preach his word to me. Say, Pastor, I'll never get there. I'll never get to the place you're talking about. Okay, let's step back from where we live right now and let's talk about a future reality. Okay? What if you were left alone? What if there were no other believers around you? Believers that really put Jesus first. No one who believed the truth of the word of God around you. And a government and a church was demanding you conform to a belief that was contrary to the Word of God. All right? What if that church or the leader of that church was doing signs and wonders in the midst of his rejection of the Word of God? And what if they said you wouldn't eat and you may not even live any longer? Unless you change your beliefs. See, I'm here talking to you and you're under no compulsion. But what if you were under compulsion? What if you had to stand all alone? Now, think of this. If you are not living to glorify God, now track with me. You've already changed the beliefs to suit yourself. So what makes you think you won't change them under that other type of pressure? Everybody understand what I'm saying? What makes you think? Where are you getting that deception from? If you can't live for God when it's easy, how are you going to live for God when it's hard? How are you going to live for God when it costs you everything? How are you going to live for God when they identify you as the enemy and they're after you? How are you going to live for God when you have to get rid of every form of tracking mechanism? You have to get rid of that beloved phone you keep your face in 23 out of 24 hours a day. Because if you don't, they'll track you down. How are you going to live when you have to get rid of your credit cards because they can track you? How are you going to live? I'm going to be a stout-hearted Christian. Under this type of pressure and living situation, if that's not going to happen, the chances that that's going to happen under the situation that's coming is slim and none, and slim left town on a dead horse. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Say, Pastor, why are you being like this? Because I'm going to stand in front of God one day for what I taught you. All right? I love you. But I love the Lord. And I covet what He has to offer in that day. I covet hearing Him say, "Well done, son." That means everything to me. Nothing else matters. And I want you to feel that same way. That nothing else matters. Oh, yes, we've got things we take care of in this life and that we love. But I'm talking about when it comes down to the basic definition of success for your life. Why did I live? That you say, I live to be able to stand in front of my King one day and to hear Him say, "Well done, Billy. Well done, good and faithful servant." And it's not going to be like some dispassionate, disconnected thing. He's going to look at you and say, "Enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter into that place of ceaseless joy." Oh. Even a gun to the head doesn't look bad in light of that. And I'm not blowing things off. I'm just saying, man, Jesus, we love you because of what you've done for us. In His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And He's ready to give them out to everyone who loves His appearing. To everyone who loves and looks forward to His appearing. Oh, my goodness. To see my Savior face to face. Have you guys thought about that recently? What that's going to be like to break into that portal of heaven? And all your loved ones that love the Lord will be there, and that's wonderful. But there's one person that you want to see so bad because He's the one that died for you. He's the one that died, shed His blood. And you say, "I want to see Jesus.
Yes, yes.
I want to see Him." And then when you get to see Him face to face for the first time, face to face for the very first time, think about how the disciples saw Him, and many of them saw Him for the second time, or the third time, or the hundredth time. And you see when He appeared to them, you see after He was glorified, you see how they responded? And man, just think about what it's going to be like. That's worth any sacrifice that has to be made. Anything that is necessary. Because He loves us and we love Him. And life without Him is not worth living. It's not worth living. And so we desire so greatly to live to glorify Him. And you know, in the scenario that I talked about at the end of the road where the Antichrist is, the spirit of the Antichrist, there will still be religion. There will still be the worship of a God. But the result of that type of religion looks like this. And this is in Romans 1:28, I believe. I don't have my glasses on. I'm trying to do this without them this morning. But this is what the end of that looks like. And you know what? You can see this even in our society today. Because we have turned away from living to glorify God. It says, and even though they got to the place where they didn't even like to retain God in their knowledge. Why? Because God was asking them to do things contrary to what they wanted. God gave them over to a debased mind. That's reprobate. Okay? To do these things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They're whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to their parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, they not only do those same things, but their heroes are the people who practice those things and preach them. You see our society have any heroes in it that don't believe in the truth of God's Word? Oh, yeah. We got them. We got them, and they're promoted. You know? But away from all of that, Paul talked to Timothy. He said, but you, man of God, flee from all of this stuff. Flee from all of these things and pursue the Lord. Pursue Him. You know, we got 1 minute. You know, after you've been with the Lord a while, sometimes you just go through emotional ups and downs, you know. And I got a little bit tired. I said, Lord, I'm tired. And the Lord said, well, why don't you stop trying to work so hard to chase me? Why don't you just wake up to the fact that I'm the one doing the pursuing? And I just fell back in Him. I said, I'm just going to trust You. You know, because this is all about Your glorification and promotion anyway, you know. Now next time we get together that I'm preaching, we're going to be talking about loving the Lord with all of our heart. See, Jesus had to teach us how to love, because if He didn't tell us how to love, we would have used one of our definitions of love and created a relationship with Him. We already have. And we call it Christianity, but it doesn't look like Christianity. So, I mean, I'm not talking about all of you in here. You understand what I'm saying? So, the Lord had to tell us how to love Him so that we could do it the way God intended. That's what we're going to talk about next time. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for everything that You are doing and all that You are to us. We want to thank You that You're our Savior. We want to thank You that You're with us. We want to thank You, Lord, that You have poured out Your Spirit within us. We just give You all the praise and the glory. Now, with everybody's eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't live to glorify God. I don't. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to you talk, I've come to understand that's not my modus operandi. I don't live to glorify Jesus. If that's you, just lift your hand right where you are. Okay. Anybody else? More? I know there's more. When are you going to be honest with yourself? Most of us can see what you live for. When are you going to be honest with yourself? Okay. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, the Lord loves you and has so much for you. Good night, nurse, if you just understood what He's got for you. All right. Let me pray for you, Father, for those that were bold enough and honest enough to raise their hands. I pray that as they sit here today and turn their hearts over to you and just pour their heart out to you, that you, Lord, would wash them and forgive them and enter into their lives fresh and new, that you would pour your Spirit out into their heart, that they would feel the joy of their Lord. And Father, that you would guide them and lead them and direct them in the days to come and show them the happiness that there is found in having Jesus as their King. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen.